Access more.
John and Ellie, I'm so glad we have you on the podcast. What a treat. Hey, I think a lot of people have heard of you, John, before, and they get a chance to meet Ellie here in a moment. But John, give us just a quick recap when people ask, like, who are you besides husband and dad and friend of mine and all that? What else is going on?
Yeah, so I would say I'm curious. And so I find things I'm curious about that I want to change or improve or grow in my own life. And then I work on it for a few years. Then I find out, do other people have that same curiosity? Can I help them with it? And then I get to turn that curiosity into books. And then I get to take those books and talk to companies and teams about them. So that's probably my favorite thing to do, is to find a question that I'm willing to spend years answering and then go share the answer.
Fun. And tell, where has that taken you so far? You've got several books that are out. Tell us the ones. I remember when your first book came out, I was like, yeah, who is this guy? And then we ended up sitting on the lawn behind the house together and just talking about life. And I go like, I'm going to be friends with this guy for a long time. Tell us the arc of the books. And then I want to get into Ellie's life.
Yeah. So I wrote a book about, that was a satire of silly things we do in church. That was kind of the beginning. That's where we first connected. I reached out to you and said, hey, I'd love to have coffee with you at Catalyst West. And you said, why don't you just fly in a day early and we'll get to know each other. And we did. And that's been 10 years ago. So it went from there to going, okay, how do I help people figure out what kind of job they want? There's a lot of people that are quitting and people want to change careers. And I wrote a book about career called Do Over. And then I was curious why I don't finish things. I start a million things, but I don't finish them. So I wrote a book called Finish after doing a big research study. My most recent was a book called Soundtracks about overthinking, because it's really easy to overthink the things you have in life. So that's kind of the arc, is figuring out again, are there things I'm interested in? Would they help other people if I spent a long time exploring that? And then can I simplify? My favorite thing to do, Bob, is simplify complex things. So I find something really complex, like mindset, and then I simplify it. And then I put handles on the ideas. We have enough ideas in the world. We don't have handles on enough of them to pick them up and bring them into our homes and our families and our lives. So I consider myself kind of like a handle maker. If you think of like the 1800s, somebody who specialized in like, all he did was put handles on things. I try to put handles on ideas that I simplify.
I love that. What a great description. And for those that aren't authors, authors write the books they need. Yeah, that's what they usually do. If you write a book, it's because like, I need this in my life. And then you do a cannonball, you grab your knees and jump in and then report back what you're finding out. Now, Ellie, I'm so excited. We get to hang out. You're off to college really soon, right?
Yes, I am. I leave in 2 days.
And which year is this for you?
Freshman year.
Freshman year. I want to know how many freshmen entering college just wrote a book called Soundtracks for Teens. Like, pick a number. It's not a big one.
Yeah, it's definitely probably fairly low.
Yep. Who are you? Like, how is it that you ended up being you? Tell us about this. Tell us about you. And I want to find out if you believe it's true that you write the books you need. Tell us why you wrote Soundtracks for Teens.
Well, what my dad always says is that people were like, I love this book. This book is great, but I just wish I had a version to give to my teenagers. Like, if I was able to equip my teens, my students, with these, you know, soundtracks and these tools to really, you know, change your mindset, they're like, it would be revolutionary. It would change the arc of like their life.
Yeah. Tell me this, if you believe or agree with this idea that we're either reflections of or reactions to the people that we've been closest to, parents, siblings, all that. Do you believe you're a reflection of, a reaction to, or a little both? And if so, how?
I think a little bit of both. You know, I've been surrounded by, you know, my dad, who always has these trying out new motivational phrases. Maybe he's working through a new book. So I think, you know, I'm a reflection of how he's taken these books and changed his life. And so I kind of pick up some things, like some soundtracks that we use in our family. You know, I take those and apply them to my life in my personal space.
And then how are you a reaction to this? Like, I'll give you an example. My daughter, Lindsay, was like raised by Tigger. And so when she got married, she married this amazing guy who has a foot or two on the ground. Like she has now some much needed stability in her life. And she delights. I mean, we're just tight, thick as thieves. But at the same time, she's a wonderful reaction to having been raised by like, whatever, don't worry about it. Where are the balloons? So tell me in what ways you're a reaction to the way that you've been raised.
Yeah, absolutely. I can think of a specific thing, like, because I've heard these soundtracks all throughout my house, you know, sometimes we'll say them as jokes, but really meaning them. I'll say them to my friends and they'll be like, okay, Miss Author, you don't need to like, I know that's hard, but be brave to be bad at something new. And they'll be like, oh, stop it.
And I think Ellie said to me one day, Bob, she said, Dad, you're either OCD or no CD. She said, you only have two speeds, OCD or no CD. And so I think one of your reactions, Ellie, is that in similar to your mom, you're really detailed. You have a good middle gear. I would say, Bob, that I often live at the edges. I'm all in or I'm all out. And I would say Ellie has a really consistent middle gear approach to life. And it's been fun for me as a dad to learn what that looks like from her. Because I tend to go from one extreme to the other. And I would say as a reaction to that and some of her natural personality, she has a really good middle gear.
Yeah. And what a neat thing to, for all of us, those of you listening, parked on the side of the road, stuck in traffic, out on a jog, to ask yourself, what am I reflecting? What am I reacting to? And I think we can kind of control the environment a little bit more than some of us do. Like I'm working on a project right now called Adjacent. And so the whole idea of who do you have adjacent to you, because you start acting like the people that are adjacent to you. They don't have to be like, you know, in your shoes, but they're just close enough that some people are wonderfully like motivating to you, like find those people. We've been trying to curate our life by having guys like, it wouldn't be like a happenstance. I would say, hey, John, come out, hang out at my house. I want us exposed to people who have different worldviews and are approaching with gusto and all that. Ellie, who are you going to draw adjacent to you? And who would you say to a teenager that ought to be adjacent if you're actually going to get these kind of soundtracks? And you're like, boy, who should you have adjacent to you?
Well, I think something, a person that's been really helpful in my life is I was in a small group through my church for about 6 or 7 years. Which is a pretty long time because I'm only 19, but you know, that was really great because they're friends with the leader was friends with my parents, but we had kind of a different relationship than my parents. Of course, I come to my parents, we talk about things, but then a leader and a group of girls is just, it's so different because we all went to different schools. So we all did different things. And so it was so refreshing to kind of go to this group that was separate from, you know, school or sports and really get exposed to different types of people walking through different walks of life.
We want a great answer. And I want to think about teenage for a second, whether you're a teenager or an old guy like me, most people don't want to be controlled. I was speaking at an event and somebody who organized it wanted me to be 40 feet to the left. But I was talking to somebody about something that really mattered to them a lot, and hence it mattered to me. And they waited for a moment or two, but then they grabbed me by the shoulders and they started like pulling me like, and I'm thinking in my thought bubble, what hospital do you want to go to? And I realized I don't want to be controlled like that. Had they instead say, hey, Bob, I think I know why you came to Omaha. And you could do 10 times more of that if you were to just slide 40 feet to your left, I'd be like, show me the way. Yeah. So tell me about the role of controlling somebody, grabbing them by the shoulders, whether it's towards faith or towards whatever, and inviting somebody like Martin Luther King points at the horizon and says, over there is something really worth going towards.
I think with the book, that's part of the goal, is we realize that it's super challenging to be a teenager right now. Mindset is something that you're often not taught. There's not a class in eighth grade that says, hey, you're going to high school. Here's how to think about it. Or you're going to have to pick a table at the lunchroom. There's a lot of pressure for that.
Mean Girls isn't a movie, it's a documentary. So here's how to think about that. So I think that's part of what we're attempting to do with the book. But then also, as far as not control, I know as we get Ellie ready to handle college and prepare for college, we're not going to say you have to do this major. That's controlling. We're going to say, hey, we see these five things in you that maybe you only see four of them, but we've had a front row seat to these passions, these dreams, these skills. So these majors might line up well. Like, what do you think? Versus here's the major. And so Jenny and I have tried to say, we want to set her up for success. We want to show her what she's capable of, but ultimately she's the one, you know, come Wednesday, she's sleeping somewhere else and making her own decisions. And so we've tried to set her up for success and show her what she's capable of, but not say we have to control the decisions because they're Ellie's decisions, not John and Jenny's decisions.
And your parents are going to try to stack the deck constantly. It's just in us that we want to stack the deck towards you. But we also, like, this will be super hard next week for your parents. Like, you get that? This is going to, like, fillet them. So just nice when they drop you off and there's a lot of tears. The last thing they do before they launch a jet, they give this signal in the aircraft carrier, which is this: pull the chocks. They put their thumbs out and their fists together, pull the chocks. And when we dropped my son off at college, we dropped him off. He got moved in. And then there was that awkward, like, is it time for us to go? But nobody wanted to think, oh, I'm just welling up thinking about it. That Richard got his thumbs out and he said, like, pull the oh, and I just lost it. Like,
oh, man.
Just ugly. Like, call somebody lost it. But what a beautiful celebration. Take a snapshot of that. Tell us, for those of you that are going to pick up the book, which is parents, teenagers, college, like grandparents who want to understand, tell us why you pick soundtracks. If they hadn't read John's earlier book, like your dad's earlier book, tell us why soundtracks. What's the meaning of that?
Well, we thought that, you know, when you're a teenager, there's lots of times when you'll get stuck in a loop of repetitive thoughts. And sometimes, you know, as you're young, there'll be phrases and words that people say to you, maybe in passing, that really stick with you and have this kind of arc over your life. For example, if someone says to you when you're in seventh grade, you're not really great at leading this group project, how about you try something else? And you're in your 30s or 40s and you're like backing away from the leadership position because, you know, if someone said this to you 20 years ago, we wanted to create a book for teenagers to equip them with tools to overcome these negative loops. Mm-hmm.
I love that. And then think about that. Like, when you get junk mail, do you get a bunch of that, Ellie, at the house, like a foot of junk mail?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I just check the address. And if it's from somebody I don't know, I don't open it. And sometimes as a teenager, even older than teenagers, you're reading the junk mail. Like, this isn't from voices that you trust. It isn't from If Faith Guides Your Steps. It isn't from Jesus. It's just junk mail. And so being able to sort that into the right pile, and then ash can it, just say, like, just not helpful.
Well, and that's what one of the things Jenny says, Ellie's mom and my wife, she says, criticism that costs nothing is worth nothing. So if it costs somebody 4 seconds to leave a critical comment on Instagram, I shouldn't give it an hour of my time. I shouldn't go, oh my gosh, this, you know, it costs that person nothing to leave that. Now, if a good friend of mine, if Al Andrews says to me, hey, John, I see some decisions you're making. I'd love to have a talk. That cost him something. That cost him bravery. That cost him relationship. That cost him 10 years of us walking together. I should receive that and think through that and be still with that versus a random comment from somebody. If it costs them nothing, it's worth nothing.
I remember getting a text message after I spoke somewhere and it just had two words. It said, you suck. I'm like, Dad. Yeah. One of the things that we'll do is we'll give them airtime in our lives. And back in the old days when they had 45s at radio stations, they would count out how many spins like a song got.
Yep.
And then sometimes we're putting spins on songs that you've outgrown, things that aren't true at all. Or if they were true, they aren't still true. So tell me about this. We're going to hear all about this college adventure from your dad because he can't help but let people know what he's learning along the way. What do you anticipate learning? Like, so it's, you know, Ellie plus 9 months. Tell me you plus 9 months. Tell me who that girl is.
Well, you know, I hope to go in and I hope to try lots of new things. What my parents always, they're so jealous of me going to college. Yeah. They're like, all your meals are cooked for you. You get to walk everywhere. Yeah.
It's like living in Europe, Bob. Yeah. You live in Europe. You walk everywhere. And somebody takes care of the grounds. Yes. You don't mow a lawn.
Yeah. Yeah. Have another baguette.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I'm hoping to, you know, try new things, really, you know, build a new circle. I'm really looking forward to, you know, getting to know my roommate even better. Mm. I'm looking forward to learning new things through my major. I'm majoring in accounting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they just have all these opportunities like clubs, sports, you know, small groups, Bible studies. Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking forward to really plugging into
study abroad. And yeah, there's a, it feels like you've got a big menu and you're getting to pick as many dishes as you want.
I like that whole like carpe diem. You're just going to carpe everything.
Yep.
Just jump in, do a cannonball. Well, the book is coming out. What's the release date?
September 13th, we have the cover. It looks beautiful. They did a great job on the cover. There's even a picture of all three of us. They put my name in a little bigger font because we got to sell units, Bob. We got to sell units. I'm not going to lie to you.
If you want to do solid for yourself, surround yourself with the input of voices you trust. And so if there's something Ellie said or John said that connects with you, write it down. Pull over to the side of the road. Go old school Palm Pilot. Write it on your palm. You can wash it off later. But what I want you to do is not just agree with these things, but if something resonated with you, there's probably a reason. If faith guides your step, this might be the voice of God connecting with a truth in your life. Check everything against scripture, but like do some of these things and then go hug your kids and just say, hey, what could we be dreaming about together, or grandkids in my instance? Well, you guys, we're so delighted to have some time. You guys have been listening to the Dream Big podcast, and we're going to get the information out to you where you can find the book, and expect to see it on my social media, but pick up a copy. Ellie, John, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks for having us.